Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
A teacher was arrested at an airport as he attempted to board a flight while in possession of a ruler, a protractor, a compass, a slide rule, and a calculator. At a morning press conference, the Attorney General said he believes the man is a member of the notorious Al-Jabra movement. He did not identify the man who has been charged by the FBI with carrying weapons of math instruction. Algebra is a problem for us, the Attorney General said. Daniel 9:25 reads, "Know, therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." The starting point for the 70-week prophecy is from the going forth of the commandment to build Jerusalem. And this took place when Nehemiah the cupbearer requested permission from King Artaxerxes to return to Jerusalem to rebuild its walls. Nehemiah 2:5 reads, "And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." The king approved and granted Nehemiah's request, and then gave him official letters to procure building materials and lumber from the king's forest, as well as he gave him letters for safe passage for Nehemiah to travel from Babylon to Jerusalem. All of this took place in the month Nisan, according to Nehemiah 2:1, and it was the year 445 BC. Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar and corresponds to our March or April. According to Sir Robert Anderson's book, The Coming Prince, the new moon, by which the Passover was regulated, was on the 13th of March in 445 BC. Accordingly, the first day of Nisan was March 14th, 445 BC. We can demonstrate that the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem was either on or very near to this date of March 14th. In all our calculations that we make here for these 70 weeks of years, we must use the Jewish calendar. We keep time by solar years of 365 1/4 days each. The Hebrews count years by dividing them into 12 lunar months of 30 days each, making a 360-day year. And we see an example of this in the book of Revelation, which reveals Daniel's 70th week, and how 3.5 years is called 1,260 days. 3.5 years, according to our calendars, is 1,277 days. The only way 1,260 days equals 3.5 years is by the Jewish calendar. 360 plus 360 plus 360 plus 180 equals 1,260. Earlier, when Ezra made the trip from Babylon to Jerusalem, Ezra 7:9 says, "For upon the first day of the first month, or Nisan, began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem." It took him 4 months to get to Jerusalem. When Scripture says it took Ezra exactly 4 months to get to Babylon, that means, according to the Jewish calendar, it took him 120 days. And we need to keep this number in mind when considering the time it took for Nehemiah to travel to Jerusalem. Nehemiah received permission to rebuild Jerusalem and the wall in Nisan. Nisan began on March 14th, Nehemiah 6:15 says he completed the building of the wall in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. The month Elul on our calendar falls from mid-August to mid-September. The 25th day of Elul would be around our September 10th. There are 180 days between March 14 and September 10. Now first, Nehemiah had to get the timber and the building materials. A conservative estimate for this could be around 5 days. Then he had to travel to Jerusalem from Babylon. Like Ezra, it likely took him 120 days. After he arrived in Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2:11 says, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then the wall was completed in 52 days. Adding all of this up, 5 days to get the building materials, 120 days travel time, 3 days being in Jerusalem, 52 days to build the wall, 5 plus 120 plus 3 plus 52 equals 180 days. The same amount from March 14th to September 10th. And what all this shows us is that the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem had to be very close to or even on March 14th, 445 BC, in order for him to finish the wall in the 25th day of the month of Elul, or our mid-September. On or very close to this date of March 14th, 445 BC, Nehemiah received permission to rebuild Jerusalem. From this commandment, according to Daniel 9:25, it was T-minus 69 weeks, 483 years, and counting unto the Messiah, the Prince. Messiah the Prince, I believe, refers to when Messiah was presented to Jerusalem as the King of Israel. When Christ rode upon a colt, the foal of a donkey, into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, Luke 19 describes the crowd of people and how they rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This was the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. As Christ rode on that young donkey and he looked at Jerusalem, he wept over it. And he said, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days come, shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This was Jerusalem's day. It was this thy day, the day of Messiah the Prince. It was the time of thy visitation by the Messiah. The Lord was announcing himself as the fulfillment of Daniel 9:25. Christ riding into Jerusalem as her king, hailed by the people as her king at the triumphal entry, was the fulfillment of the coming of Messiah the Prince to Jerusalem. Daniel 9:25 goes on to say that the time frame from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. In verse 25, we find that the 69 of the 70 weeks are broken into two sections. 7 weeks of years, or 49 years, and 62 weeks of years, or 434 years. And this leaves 1 week, or 7 years, as the third and final period of the prophecy. Thus, the weeks of prophecy were to be broken down and divided into three sections. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week, which equals 70 weeks. Or in terms of years, it was 49 years, 434 years, and 7 years, equaling 490 years. But verse 25 shows that from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem in March 445 BC into the Messiah the Prince is a period of 69 weeks, or 483 years. Again, this is based on the Jewish calendar of 12 30-day months, 360-day years, and it's much easier to figure out by days. A 483-year period with 360-day years is a total of 173,880 days. If you count 173,880 days forward from March 14th, 445 BC, it brings you to April 6th, 32 AD. Possibly adding a day or two for when the commandment was to rebuild Jerusalem was made, that is when Christ came riding into Jerusalem as Messiah, the Prince. Daniel 9:26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." After the 7 weeks, or 49 years, when the rebuilding of Jerusalem would be accomplished, then, as verse 26 says, after the 62 weeks, or 434 years that follow, till the Messiah, the coming of Messiah the Prince, the Messiah would be cut off. 6 days after the end of the 69th week, Messiah was cut off. The cutoff of Messiah is defined for us in Scripture in Isaiah 53:8, which states of Christ's substitutionary death, "For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Daniel 9:26 is an Old Testament prophecy of Christ's death. And as this verse says, the Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. The Messiah would not be cut off out of the land of the living for himself or his own sins. He would die for the sins and transgressions of others. Now you can see a gap between the ending of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. It says after the completion of the 69 weeks of the coming of the Messiah the Prince, the triumphal entry, Messiah would be cut off. Then there is a gap till the people of the Prince that shall come. The editor of our Berean Searchlight magazine, Pastor Ricky Kurth, wrote this. Verse 26 allows for a gap in prophecy during which time prophetic events such as the crucifixion occur, but God's prophetic clock is not ticking. The angel does not explain how long this gap in the prophetic calendar would last, but this gap allowed the Lord, without upsetting the prophetic calendar, to give the nation Israel an additional year to consider and to believe that he is Israel's Messiah. Luke 13:6-9 says this, "He," or Christ, "spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." The fig tree in the Bible. It's a Bible type for Israel. The certain man in the parable who had the fig tree planted in his vineyard is God the Father. The dresser of his vineyard is the Lord Jesus Christ. The 3 years speak to the Lord's 3-year earthly ministry to Israel, during which God the Father searched for spiritual fruit among the nation as a whole, but found none. God's response to these fruitless years was for Christ to cut the fig tree of Israel down with the axe of the tribulation period in Daniel's 70th week. However, because of the gap in Daniel's 70 weeks, it allowed for the Lord to say to his Father, "Lord, let it alone this year also. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." The Lord requested another year to give Israel an opportunity during this time to accept him as her Messiah and his offer of the kingdom. And Acts chapters 1 through 7 tell us about that added year. By the Holy Spirit's ministry to Israel and through Christ's apostles, Israel was powerfully confronted throughout this year with the claims of Christ and the truth of Christ as Israel's Messiah. But Israel as a whole would not and did not believe. And at the end of that year, Israel's religious leaders stoned Stephen, and they fell and were cut down in God's eyes. This should have resulted in the beginning of the last week of Daniel's prophecy. But instead, God again used this gap for a surprise of grace for the nations. Instead of Israel's fall, resulting in the last week of Daniel's prophecy, or the 7-year tribulation period, God interrupted his program with Israel, set her aside temporarily in her unbelief. Christ then raised up the Apostle Paul, ushered in an age of grace that was kept secret since the world began. And Paul wrote to us Gentiles, the people of the nations, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, for 2,000 years mankind has been living during this unprophesied period in which God is dispensing grace to the world, giving all an opportunity to be saved by grace through faith alone in Christ." Paul said that the message committed to him by Christ for this age, the mystery in other ages, was not made known unto the sons of men. The gap predicted in Daniel 9:26 is not and cannot be the current dispensation of grace or a prophecy for it. But it's been said well, just as our Lord used the gap to give Israel another year without upsetting the schedule of the 70 weeks, so God has now used the gap to give the Gentiles nearly 2,000 years of opportunity, again without disturbing the prophetic calendar. This age will close with a coming of Christ not revealed in prophecy, the rapture, to catch the church, the body of Christ, away to heaven before Christ picks up on the prophetic timetable where it was left off with Daniel's 70th week, the last 7 years. And this is why we must reject any and every teaching that says that the rapture takes place during any part of Daniel's 70th week. 7 years are left and assigned to Israel in God's prophetic calendar, prior to Christ's millennial kingdom on the earth. The body of Christ has no part of these 7 years of prophecy. It's all about and pertains only to Israel. When the angel appeared to Daniel here, he told him that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This prophecy is about Israel and not the body of Christ. And that is why we are caught away at the rapture before Daniel's 70th week ever begins. After prophesying of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the angel tells Daniel about a time that Jerusalem's going to be destroyed again. The prince that shall come in this verse is different from the Messiah, the prince in verse 25. This prince is the anti-Messiah, the man of sin, that will be revealed after the rapture and as the 70th week begins. The people of this world ruler will one day destroy the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary or the temple that will stand in Jerusalem in that future day. The end thereof shall be with a flood. Refers to the flood of people and of armies that will overwhelm, level, and destroy Jerusalem and the temple when they enter the land at the end of the 70th week as they gather for the battle of Armageddon. Isaiah 59:19-20 prophesies of that day when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. The Redeemer will come to Zion at his second coming to destroy the Antichrist and the armies of the Antichrist. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The he here is the Antichrist, the prince that shall come. The Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. The many is Israel, unbelieving Jews who will enter into alliance with the Antichrist. The covenant is a peace pact, a promise of blessing, the ability for Israel to go back to their temple worship at the Temple Mount. We can conclude this because the next phrase refers to when he breaks the covenant in the midst of the week and causes the sacrifices and oblations to stop. Sacrifice refers to blood sacrifices. Oblation refers to the meal and drink offerings of the law. Devout Jews who reject Jesus Christ as their Messiah will jump at the chance for their temple worship to be reinstituted by the Antichrist. And when pen hits paper with this covenant between the Antichrist and the Jews, Daniel's 70th week, the last 7 years, begins. And in the middle of the week, or 3.5 years into the 7 years of the 70th week, the Antichrist will cause the temple worship, sacrifices, and oblations to cease. The reason why is for the overspreading of abominations. The Antichrist, that is, shall make it, that is the temple, desolate. Here at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be assassinated. He dies. His soul goes to the bottomless pit in Hades, Revelation says. Then under the permission of God, in giving the world what it has always wanted, a Savior other than Jesus Christ, the Antichrist will be allowed by God to return from the dead. And it is more than likely that it occurs after 3 days. Through the Antichrist, Satan will counterfeit the death, burial, and resurrection of the true Savior. In light of his assassination and resurrection, the Antichrist will be held up by his right-hand man, the false prophet. He will be held up as the true Messiah, God in flesh. In celebration of this fact, the false prophet will proclaim that an image should be made to the beast, the Antichrist. In an astounding supernatural display of power to deceive, Satan gives breath and life to this idol, and it even speaks. The idol will be set up in the temple in Jerusalem. And under a worldwide decree, all will be required to bow down and worship this image to the beast. Setting up a satanic idol in God's temple is the pinnacle of blasphemy. This is the abomination of desolation, the overspreading of abominations. Matthew 24:15-16 says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," or the idol to the Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. An idol standing in the temple is an abomination to God. It desolates and desecrates the temple in his sight. The idol will stand in the temple, and then the Antichrist, having been raised from the dead, will go into the temple and sit in the most holy place, the dwelling place of God. He will sit on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies and declare that he is the true God. The reason the temple worship ceases is because he will say that he is the antitype, the fulfillment of the sacrifices, and he will demand that all Israel only worship himself and the idol made to himself. This abomination will continue until the consummation of the final week or the end of the 7 years. But I love how the prophecy ends. At the consummation is when that determined, or the prophesied judgment determined by Almighty God, shall be poured upon the desolate. That is the desolator, the desolate one, the Antichrist. At Christ's second coming, at the end of the 70th week, the Lord, the true Christ, will return in vengeance and pour out his wrath and destroy and squash the desolator. And then he is thrown into the lake of fire. We who are on the Lord's side are always on the side of power, truth, and victory.
For nearly 80 years, the Berean Bible Society has endeavored to encourage believers everywhere to study God's Word. With this foundation, the believer is equipped to grow spiritually and energized to effectively share the gospel. Through the tools of both traditional and electronic media, we are positioned to reach our world well into the coming generations. Streaming lessons, printed materials, audio teachings, and daily devotionals are all available at the BereanBibleSociety.org.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.